Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I want to say a good morning to everyone out there. We have a kind of a rainy weekend ahead of us, but Lizzie, good morning. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, as much as I hate being in the rain and wearing bulk clothing, I'm willing to accept this because we do need some rain.
We did. We've only had a half an inch here in the Central Florida area rainfall for February. And usually by this time we get about an inch to an inch and a half. And that's not a lot. Okay, so February, March, this is our dry time of the year. So anytime we can get weather like this, you know, we just really, really, really need it. I just hate that it's Daytona 500 weekend.
To be honest with you, if you actually go back and look these last few years, it seems like it always does rain on the 500. So, yeah. So a lot of people, like Guy said on Good Morning Orlando, he said, I have a feeling that a lot of people are either not going to show up to work on Monday, call in sick, or on Tuesday. So
yeah, that's
a rain delay.
Rain delay. That's probably going to happen. And this is also a good time to check your rain shutoff device. Okay, and I've always preached this, but this weekend we're going to get anywhere in North Florida all the way down to Key West. We're going to get between an inch and a half, 2 inches to 5 inches of rain over the next 2 days to 3 days. And I am just saying this is a great time that if your irrigation system is supposed to go off on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, you know, whatever day it's supposed to go off, the next time it should go off, and it does, you need to check it, because we're going to get enough rain this weekend that you do not need to water anything for probably 7 to 10 days. And we're going to get, you know, the rains usually bring in a cold front, or the cold front brings in the rains, and so we do not need to irrigate. So this is a great time that you can check your irrigation sprinkler systems and just notice if they go off this week. If they do, then you need to check it. You can either replace it. They range in cost from $35 to $40. It's going to save you hundreds of dollars a year if you pay for your water on your utility bill. Or you might just need to change the cork or whatever device it is that you're using. Just check the, kind of maintenance, the care for your irrigation system, your timer, and your rain shutoff device. It is a state law that if you have an irrigation system automatic that turns on, then without it being manual, if it's just turning it on, then you don't need to have one. But if you have an automatic irrigation sprinkler with a timer, you need to have a rain shutoff device that is working. You know, I always get the landscapers, they say, oh, those things never work. And it's a technical device. Mm-hmm. It needs to be maintained. And of course, if you haven't, you know, looked at it in 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, yeah, it's not going to work.
People would never do that.
Well, that's why I always say it's just, coming up with new things to help people conserve water. You know, they've got to understand the need for it, because it just adding new devices, you know, is not necessarily the answer. I will tell you that those new weather stations that you can remote control from your phone are amazing. And, if you're a snowbird here in Florida and you go back up north, you can literally check your irrigation from wherever you are in the world. And that is a great, great, great feature for your automatic timers. And it's something to be looked at. So we have a wonderful show for you today. We have a great event coming up. And also, too, I'm going to be giving you information on flowering trees that are flowering right now that you can put into your landscape so that you can have beautiful flowers throughout the year, not only during the summertime, spring and summer, but through the winter too. And so technically we're still here in wintertime. And so we will be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about birds. Had a lot of fun things about birds this weekend. And I learned some things about pelicans.
Ooh, okay.
Did you know pelicans migrate?
I thought pelicans were here all year long.
That's what I thought too, but they do migrate from up north down to Florida. There were a good, I would probably say 75 to 100 in Lake Ivanhoe yesterday. So I don't know whether they understand or they can sense that we're going to be getting bad weather. The rain's coming in from up north and they just, you know, come, you know, we're only an hour flight in. I would say probably, right. You know, they don't have to take the I-4, you know, so they can even fly in probably in 30 minutes from Daytona Beach. And so they're here locally. So it was really cool. I saw a lot of birds. So we're going to be talking about birds today and what to feed them. I also installed a landscape this week. And I say the royal we because not me, but my crew, which is just excellent. So, but they we designed a landscape for birds. And it just turned out beautifully. And the next morning, she called me, the client called me and said, there are so many birds in my bird feeders and at where you planted the trees. They're just sitting there and they're singing and they're very happy.
So you did your job.
I did
my
job.
High five. I'm giving you an air five right now. Boom. There you go.
Boom. There we go. Knock that window. And so I was really, really pleased to hear that. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can attract more birds to your landscape, to your garden, to your home. Coming up, we have a spring favorite event coming up, Seminole County Garden Expo 2024. Aaron Boyer is going to be joining us, and this is an exciting day, and we're going to find out all about it, and you're not going to want to miss it. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Aaron Boyer is a Florida native. I always love to hear from Florida natives and Seminole County resident since 2000. He joined the Seminole County Master Gardeners program last year, and he is with us right now to talk about this wonderful event, Seminole County Gardening Expo 2024. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Is it raining there where you are right now?
The gardens are getting a little sprinkle so far, but nothing crazy.
No, that's good. We definitely do need the rain, so I'm going to enjoy it. So I am a 25-year master gardener with the University of Florida, and I would love to know what made you interested in becoming a master gardener.
You know, I've been growing food for my family for a couple of years, really since just before my daughters were born. And the idea of being able to both serve the community and learn from people that have been doing it like yourself for much longer than I have, it excited me. And I was willing to take the plunge into all the volunteer hours and the training, and it was well worth it.
It definitely is. I can tell anyone who moves to Florida, you know, it is a wonderful education, and you really do get a lot out of the program. And so this new annual spring event's coming. So what day is the Gardening Expo 2024?
It is next Saturday, and it is absolutely something you need to put on your calendars and you need to show up for. It's Saturday the 24th.
And there's no charge for it.
Nothing. No charge for parking, for any of the events. It's come and enjoy with the family and friends. It's a wonderful time.
Okay, so now where is it going to be held at?
If you type the extension office into Google Maps, you'll find it, but it's at 250 County Home Road in Sanford.
Okay, and so this is, it's going to be all over, so you won't be able to miss it because there's going to be a lot of people coming. So what kind of events can people attend while they're there? What will they be able to do?
There's going to be a lot, so bring your sneakers. There's how-to clinics. We have demonstration gardens on property, both vegetable gardens and herb gardens. There's a Florida-friendly landscaping garden. We're putting in a food forest. I mean, really, it's a lot of plant people and a lot of fun. There's also going to be some speakers going on all throughout the day, several in different tents. And then also, you're going to be there. I think you're is that 1 o'clock? Is that right?
No, I'm at 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock.
I'm there at 11 o'clock. I'm very excited that you asked me to come. And I'll be talking about bromeliads, how to design and use them in your landscape.
Oh, I love it.
And so, I have my talk down here at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. I'm going to change that. It's early, Aaron, when you come on in the morning. So,
you know what? I am glad that we corrected it because yes. I don't want to miss your speech.
Thank you so much. But there are also going to be vendors there. And
there are. There's probably over 30 different companies attending. Lots of them are giving away raffles. So really, really, it's a fun activity all day.
And children are invited and even pets.
Absolute kids. I encourage it. It's how I found out about the Master Gardener program. I went with my 3-year-old. And we just had a great time.
What will they be able to do?
Oh, gosh. There's a fun scavenger hunt where you can go around, get little stamps, and there's prizes at the end. There's a petting zoo. You can take the kids over to the garden area and pull out a carrot or a radish and just watch their face light up as it pops out of the dirt. There's a butterfly exhibit. And in the first half of the day, there's face painting. Again, all of it's free.
Wow, that's incredible. So one of my favorite things to do at gardening shows and expos is I know the listeners are thinking this, is there going to be a plant sale?
Oh, yeah, there definitely is. My wife has already told me that I have a limit.
So there'll be different kinds of plants there. You know, I'm sure it's tropicals and even herbs and those kind of plants. So food, will they be, I mean, they could stay there all day long and not need anything. What kind of food's going to be there?
I'm not sure what kind of food is going to be there, but I know it is an all-day event.
And
come on and have fun with it.
Right, and they're food trucks. And so handicap accessible. So this is going to be available for everyone. So
absolutely.
Okay, super. So now, go ahead and tell us what day it is, what the hours are, Aaron, and the location again.
Yeah, it's February 24th. That's next Saturday. It's going to be at 250 County Home Road in Sanford, Florida, from 9 a.m., until 3 p.m. I know that there's several events that go on next Saturday. Come early, come see the expo, come late, come twice, but definitely come.
That will be great. Now, is there a website that they can go to on the Seminole County Extension?
For the expo?
Yeah, no, just the Seminole County Extension website.
Yeah, if you're looking to become a master gardener, you can go into gardeningsolutions.ifas. ufl.edu/mastergardener, and you can learn about that. But there's no sign-up needed for Expo. You can literally just type in 250 County Home Road in Sanford and show up from 9 to 3. There's parking available for free, and have a blast throughout the day.
There you go, Aaron. Thank you so much. I certainly appreciate you calling in.
Definitely. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
See you next Saturday.
I will. Oh, I can't wait to meet you. And so that's Aaron Boyer. He is a Seminole County Master Gardener, and he grows food for his family. So you'll be able to meet him and all the other Master Gardeners in Seminole County. They're a great group.
I absolutely love that. I love that whenever, you know, you're doing that for your own family and you're just passing that on. So
it's amazing. So, but it's going to be a great day. I love speaking at this event, and the topic for my talk next week is bromance, and mm-hmm. it's about landscaping with bromeliads in the landscape. So
that's good stuff.
And so this is now the time. Today is going to be a day for your gardening questions, and we have some great text messages coming up. And if you'd like to call 1-888-455-2967. Or if you're in the garden area, you can give us a text, 23680. I am going to be talking about winter flowering trees that you're seeing and that, what can you be planting right now? And then also, too, we're going to be talking about how to solve, landscape design issues that you face in your landscape. So it's going to be a great call.
Oh, definitely, 100%. Yeah, because I know that I'm kind of running into that right now, but we're waiting for some trees to be taken down because we have to actually hire someone to come in. Normally, we do all the stuff ourselves, but these are actually over power lines and over our neighbor's house. And, you know, and as much as they love us and trust us, we're like, we're going to get a real professional in to do
that
it.
That would be great. Get a certified arborist to do that. And so, this weekend, even if the rain, will be great to be planting plants this weekend. You know, in between the rain shower breaks that they come through, the ground is going to be saturated. That's going to help a lot so that your plants do not get stressed out. And then we have a little bit of a cold front coming through. And by that, you know, I know that when Northerners hear us talk about a cold front coming through and we say it's going to be in the 40s and 50s, and they're going, that's springtime.
Right.
That's wonderful weather. Well, the plants love it, so you'll be able to garden there. And so you can also give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or text 23680. So what kind of flowers can you be planting right now? Well, now you can still be planting. I've seen pansies pop up everywhere where people are planting them in their landscape. They're going to love this cool weather, but also alyssum and baby's breath, bacopas. Begonias are blooming right now like crazy. The Rex begonias look so beautiful with their tall flowers coming up above them. Candy tuft and carnations and calendula and coneflowers. Coneflowers will do really well this time of the year, and they are considered annuals, but they reseed and they'll come back every year. So, you know, you don't want to worry about that. Coreopsis and cosmos. I went on the interstate. And right there at the rest stops, they have all of the wildflowers coming up. And it was full of cosmos and phlox, and it looks so beautiful. And so if you're wanting to put it in a wildflower meadow, I'm just going to tell you, now's not the time to do it. You want to do it in the fall. Okay, so if you're going to be planting, though, you can plant cosmos, and they will come back every year. Dahlias and delphiniums, they're going to last a little bit longer, but if you see them, you can plant them now. I would not do seeds. I would do, you know, make sure you're doing transplants. Dianthus and dahlia, dusty millers are a wonderful accent for your garden. They're soft gray. They have rigid or curved leaves. But they also, too, they remind me of lamb's ears. So if you can't find lamb's ears, the dusty miller is a good substitution for them. And then also, too, dusty miller is a great butterfly plant. So you can't go wrong there. Four clocks and gaillardias, whirling butterflies. Now, in my yard, I have to cut my whirling butterflies back because they have a lot of stems from the fall area, fall time when they were blooming. And if you have whirling butterflies, feel free to go ahead and cut them down to the ground, cut them down to their burgundy leaves, cut all the stems off that had blooms on them, and they'll be just ready to go for the springtime, and they'll flush out and they'll get a lot denser. Geraniums look beautiful right now. There's a great choice for, growing, you can put them by your front doors. You can have them in containers and also, too, in the ground as well. Gerbera daisies, Johnny Jump-Ups, which look like pansies, lobelias, and million bells, which are calibrachoas, and they look like petunias, and they make a great ground cover. They will bloom all the way through the summertime and do lovely. They come in lots of different colors. Nasturtiums and pansies and petunias, salvias and snapdragons, and Stokes aster, sweet pea, and yarrow can all be planted right now. And then, of course, you can plant roses. And I will tell you that if you're not don't want to take care of roses, but you love the look of them, drift roses are fantastic. They are, they only get to be about 2.5 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide, come in popcorn yellow, apricot, and peach colors. Then they also are white and red, pink colors, and fuchsia. They are a wonderful addition to your landscape. Very low maintenance, right? So you're going to come back, and we're going to have lots of calls. We're going to hear from Bob in Plant City. He is reading my mind, I will tell you. He asked a question that I just was talking to an expert yesterday on. So I'm looking forward to talking to Bob and talking to him about that. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and it's a great time for your gardening questions. Call 888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Sandeep in Orlando. Good morning, Sandeep.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. And so what is your question?
I listened to the radio show a few weeks ago, and there was a gentleman talking about planting trees, and I got some of the stuff about when planting, make sure you put a bowl in for the water and don't stake it for more than 6 months. I have an avocado tree. It's like maybe 6 feet in a like 15-gallon container, so I was going to put it in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
My two questions were, was when I put it in the ground, like, do I do, like, just put the whole soil in the container? Do a 50-50 mix of the dirt and the soil? And then the second question is, what would be the watering schedule?
Okay, and so those questions depend on how big the tree is. What was the size of the gallons?
The container is roughly like 15, 20 gallons.
Okay, and how tall is it?
About 6 feet.
Okay, super. And so, okay, so you do not, is this going to be in a full sun area? And what kind of soil is there now?
It will be, it's in my backyard. It's a full sun area. The soil, I mean, it's kind of like regular, like Florida soil. There's probably 6 feet, no, maybe more like 10 feet before there's like a pond there.
Okay, so it's a wet area. Okay, and full sun.
But I do have other trees growing there, like mangoes and like lemon and limes in that area that I'm going to be putting it in.
That's great. Okay, super. I'm going to tell you, you don't need to really amend that soil right there. You want it to adapt to the area it's growing in. And so that it's on the shoreline kind of tells me that it's going to be a little bit, it's going to have a high moisture content, so it's going to hold on to moisture longer. And you do not need to, it's going to be already be in good soil when you plant it. So I would just make the hole twice the size, and then you want to leave it out of the ground about 1 to 2 inches so that when it settles, it's going to settle level. If you plant it level, when it settles, it's going to be 2 inches or so deep, and it's going to be a little, you know, that's a little too deep for it. You want it to be, you know, right at the level of the flare of, on the tree. And then watering it, I would make sure that you water it probably every day unless you get rain. For about a month, we're going into our dry period. Winter is our dry period. Spring is our dry period. And unless we get rain, which is not optimum, or is not usually what happens during February, then, you know, you want to make sure you water it correctly. Fertilizing it, I would fertilize it. Once you see new growth, it'll be time to fertilize it.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's going to be very easy. Now, staking it, when we talk about staking trees, 6 foot tall, I wouldn't probably stake that. I don't think there's going to be an issue. Anything taller than that, I would probably stake through the hurricane season, through October, and then you can take the stakes off. You want the tree to become more established, and staking them sometimes will cause them to, if you leave those stakes on too long, it'll cause it not to be stable in the ground. Okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's a great question. And so, you know, I'm hesitant about the watering because he's so close to the lake, but you just want to make sure that it gets enough moisture. Fruit trees will always need moisture on a consistent basis. And so whether it's, you know, twice a week during the summertime or once a week during the wintertime, once it's established, it will need that water. So great question.
Definitely.
And so I didn't ask him what avocado tree. I kind of like to know what kind of species it is. And so Bob from Plant City says, is it too late to put in onion transplants or onion sets? And we still have a little bit of winter to go yet, Bob. And so I would say that it kind of is with us having a short winter time here. And so it kind of is. I would wait till the fall. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be having on Gene McAvoy. He is with the University of Florida, IFAS. And he is going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about onions and okra. and when can we plant them? And so, but right now, if you have them right now with you, the transplants and the onion sets right now with you, Bob, I'd go ahead and plant them myself, okay? And usually we plant them in the fall, but right now we're still in winter season, and yeah, I would go ahead and do it.
Now, the onion transplants, you're talking about like if you go to one of the stores and you see the actual onions and they're like grouped together. Is that what you're talking about?
No, those are the scallions and leeks. And okay. So you can plant those year round here. Okay. And I usually do. So you cut off the root system, you cut off, you can plant those in a little pot, put it outside in your garden, and it will grow new leaves and a new leek or scallion.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that any time of the year. But no, we're talking about onion sets that go in the ground. And they're actually full onions, and then they just multiply.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Excellent. And so, Eric, I sent you a text message on your question, so thank you very much. 1-888-455-2967-23680 is our text messages. So feeding the birds, and this is National Bird Feeding Month. And so I really was really impressed. If you want to have birds in your landscape, plant trees, and then also plant trees with berries in them. The Dahoon holly is an excellent choice. It's just abundant with berries, and birds love it. Also to have shelter with the trees. So you can go ahead, and I love hollies that grow all the way down to the ground that are not trimmed up like a tree, but have all their leaves and branches right down to the ground so they can get in there. And the little birds, the little wrens and titmouses and all the little vireos, they go in there and they sit. And I love that. So you want to make sure you have lots of trees and shrubs. Shrubs will do the same thing if you have them and leave them at 4 to 5 feet. The birds will definitely use them. You want to skip pesticides and rodenticides. Just stop with the chemicals and spraying outside. That's going to benefit because your birds will take care of your insect issue, and that will be important. Leave the leaves. If you've got the oak leaves on your lawn right now, mow them and let them go into the ground. That will be beneficial for not only the wildlife, but your turf. And then you want to build a brush pile. If you have the right amount of property, not in an HOA, not in your front yard, but if you have the right amount of property and you have a little bit of area that you can make a brush pile with what you clip and cut down, birds love that. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And so Eric sent me some beautiful pictures of the painted buntings in his yard and also the cardinals. And I've seen lots of cardinals this week, but if I could just see a painted bunting in my yard.
I got to see one this last week. Yep, got to rub it in. Thank you, Eric. Eric actually listens to us during the week, too, and he chimes in. He's pretty funny. So
that's great. That's great. And so I was just amazed at Lake Ivanhoe this week with all the pelicans on them, and there were wood storks there, and I love our native wood storks, and they just remind me so much of the birds that deliver babies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gorgeous. And there was white egrets and also some of the coots and the cinnets. And, oh, it just was really great. So there are some wonderful locations that you can see birds. If you're a bird watcher, you can see them in Tallahassee. You can check them out at Lake Tahquin State Park. Or you can, in Wakulla, go to the St. Mark's National Wildlife Refuge, which is gorgeous. Jacksonville, at the Mayport Village, you can see beautiful pelicans before they go back. And pelicans have a 9-foot wingspan. And yet they look so small in the water, but they do have a 9-foot wingspan. St. Augustine, you can go to the Matanzas and the Tolomata Rivers. And then in Central Florida, some great places to check out the pelicans. In the Gainesville area, you can go to Noonan's Lake and Lake Wahlberg. Cedar Key, the Barrier Islands, is wonderful. And you can see them in the villages in Umatilla and in Mount Dora, in the lakes, and also in retention ponds. And then Homosassa Springs is wonderful to see pelicans. And then in South Florida, you can go to St. Pete Beach, the Fort DeSoto Park, and then the Mayaca River State Park in Sarasota, and also in Gasparilla Island in Placida, Sanibel Island, Marco Island in Naples at the pier, and then also the Everglades National Park. You can see them too, and in Key West. Of course they go to Key West. Everybody goes to Key West. So that's great. And so I love that. And so how do you feed pelicans? Well, what they do is they really work together. So that's why you see them grouped on a lake. And so they work as a team, and they collectively herd the fish, fluffing their wings, and they assemble. Then they gather the fish up, and they can eat them all together. So they kind of swim together and bring the fish into a cluster and then gobble up.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So just, you know, friends for dinner, you know.
I wonder if they prefer saltwater versus freshwater fish. I wonder what's their preference.
I don't know, because they get both, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, I assume. Yeah. Well, I've seen them on the lakes before.
Lake Ivanhoe, yeah. I don't know. I think, though, that they're ocean fish. I don't think they prefer. I just think they're hungry.
Okay.
You know, so they'll eat whatever's passing by. So you're seeing beautiful flowering trees right now. And the yellow tabebuias have started blooming. The pink have been blooming for about a month now, month mm-hmm. and a half. The pink tabebuias have been blooming. The yellows are blooming now. And then also the red maple. It looks like red leaves. And driving by, you think that we're in fall here in Florida. But those are actually the samseras. And it's the beautiful red petals, red flowers on them, and they're just gorgeous. Hong Kong tulip orchid tree is blooming right now, and then also the Chickasaw plum. Are you familiar with that? Out in Umatilla, in Eustis area, mm-hmm. the back roads, mm-hmm. you see a lot of Chickasaw plums.
Definitely, yes.
And they are gorgeous. It is a Florida-friendly tree that blooms in North and Central Florida. It has plums on it that are good for wildlife and birds, but also too, humans can eat them too. And then also the Flatwoods plum will be blooming in a few weeks. So the ones blooming right now are the Chickasaws, and then the Flatwoods plum will bloom a little bit later on. Red buds are going to start blooming right now, and they are beautiful. They're a native tree. They have small pink and white flowers, and they just look beautiful. They have heart-shaped leaves that come out later. So they bloom before they get the leaves on them. Fringe trees. My fringe tree's not blooming, but it's getting there. They will start to bloom in March. And fringe trees are a gorgeous tree with like little fringe ribbon-like flowers that hang down. And they are lightly fragrant. And they cover the tree for about 2 weeks before they start to get their leaves. And so there's a gorgeous. If you're in North Florida and you have saucer magnolias, those are going to be blooming within the next few weeks. And then Taiwan cherries. Taiwan cherries, they bloom in January and February, and they've grown in North and Central Florida, and they also produce fruits. And then in South Florida, the bougainvilleas always are blooming.
Yes.
And they are gorgeous. And then the frangipanis down in South Florida. You are seeing those. And here right now, my frangipanis, they don't have leaves on them. So those drop their leaves in the wintertime here in Central and North Florida. But in South Florida, they are blooming gorgeously.
We love bougainvillea, but it was so funny because three different places where we lived, we purposely planted bougainvillea outside our kids' bedrooms So that way no one could come in into the window, or, you know, then when they're teenagers, they couldn't sneak out through
right,
the window.
Of course.
But yeah, so.
They do have large thorns
gorgeous,
on them.
Gorgeous, yes.
They are gorgeous. And it's so the bougainvillea, people think that the flowering, so they want a fuchsia flower, or they want the peach, you know, bougainvilleas, or the different dark reds. But all bougainvilleas have white flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the bracts, those leaves that change color.
That's what it's called, bracts. Okay.
The bracts.
Yes.
And so kind of like poinsettias, mm-hmm. okay, that turn red. It's not that the poinsettia of color doesn't come from the flowers. Poinsettia leaves are flowers are whitish yellow. And but this week I was talking to a gentleman, and he had a beautiful bougainvillea. It was nice and full and thick and green. And he says it never flowers. Well, it was a little shaded, and it gets a lot of water and fertilizer. And when it does that, it gets a lot of leaves, and it doesn't feel the need to produce bracts. So if you really want to have a colorful bougainvillea, you want to make sure it's in full sun, and then just don't water it or fertilize it.
Wow, that makes – I never even thought about that, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So it's something that it blooms when it's stressed out. So stress your bougainvillea out. It's okay to do that.
You know what we did? I did with the grand brats on Sunday.
What did you do?
We finally got our pumpkins in the raised beds.
Yes.
Yes. And then, of course, you know, we prayed over the seeds, and we prayed over the soil, and then we prayed over the planting, and then they showed up at the house this last night. We usually get them on Friday nights, and they ran right over, and they prayed over them again, and they're sprouting. They're starting to sprout. They're like, this is so cool.
I'm keep praying.
Yes.
Keep praying. That's wonderful. Aaron Boyer was with us. I'd like to thank him. Next week is going to be a very fun day. Okay, again, the Seminole Gardening Expo 2024. It's going to be at 250 West County Home Road in Sanford. They're going to have kids activities, crafts, and programs, 4-H, butterfly encounter, which is always fun. They're going to have how-to clinics and demonstration gardens. It is free admission. And even free admission to the Museum of Seminole County History. So you're going to be able to go in, free parking. They're going to have food, and you're allowed to bring your pets. I love that.
Nice.
Yeah, so allowed to bring your pets, and it'll be handicapped accessible. So no excuses for not coming. And I will be doing a talk at 1 p.m. on bromance, designing landscapes with bromeliads. So I love that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I do appreciate Aaron coming on. And if you would like to become a Master Gardener, make sure you connect with your county extension office. No matter where you are in the state or the country, you want to become a Master Gardener, check with your extension office. The classes fill up very quickly for fall classes, and they're taking names now.
Yeah. I see. I would love to do something like that, but then I'm afraid they're going to come and inspect my two of my raised beds that just look like a Sanford and Son situation going on with everything sitting in it that doesn't belong there.
No.
They let you take those classes and
you just learn. Well, you learn why your garden looks like that. You know, you learn why your plants die. So that's the only difference between master gardeners and new beginning gardeners, is that we know why our plants die.
There may even be a tire in one of them, to be honest with you.
And so we definitely want to see everybody there at the county, the Gardening Expo 2024, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's great. And if you'd like to give us a call the next hour, we're going to be talking about a lot of fun things and what to do around your landscape, and we're going to be answering your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or text me at 23680 from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. But Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.